Well, we're going to start a new series this morning called The Songs of Summer. And as I was preparing the message this week, I was thinking about all the songs that we sing and how, you know, there's not enough weeks in a year to go through all the songs that we sing and to really understand all the meaning. And some of them are kind of self-explanatory. The first one we're going to do this morning is one of those that's kind of self-explanatory. We're going to do the song Forever. We've sung this song many, many times in church. Chris Tomlin wrote it, made it famous. Michael Smith kind of redid it a little bit on a worship album a few years ago and really, you know, brought it back to our attention. It's a wonderful song that just reminds us to praise God. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, there was a thing that came across Facebook this past week, and it said, we don't want to be buildings that have great music that people really like to sing. We need to be churches that praise God through the songs that we sing. And there's a real temptation that's going on in our culture, in our church culture especially, where some churches are just hitting it out of the ballpark with their music. And the song, you know, the bands are big, they do everything excellent. They put on a wonderful concert, if you will, almost every Sunday morning, Saturday night, depending on how many services they have. People even go to some churches just to experience the music there, which I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that, as long as that church is really making disciples and doing things that are enlarging the kingdom of God. But if all they're doing is just having great music so that people really like the music and come for the show, then they're missing a vital component of, they're abusing, I think, a vital component of worship. And they're leaving out another hugely important part, which is the Word of God. And churches need to be balanced in doing both. We need to have good music with the people that God provides for you. Several churches, you know, I can understand the small church that doesn't have certain abilities. They don't have people in their congregations with certain abilities, possibly seen questioning whether they should pay somebody to come in and play. Big churches, though, that pay professional musicians to come in and play at their church while leaving people in the congregation that can play and telling them that they're not good enough or they don't look the right way and that kind of stuff, I think that's a scary place for worship to get. And it's getting there. So we've got a new kind of worship war brewing in Christendom, if you will. And I hope it gets taken care of in a proactive way, and it's good. But this morning, I want to start a summer series called The Songs of Summer. And I want the songs that we look at each week, and so far I've had three other songs recommended. They're hymns, which is fine, but if you want to know what some of the new worship choruses and stuff that we're singing mean, and the thoughts behind them, possibly the stories. We were talking last Sunday night in our small group about the stories behind songs. It as well was written by a man who lost his daughters in the Titanic. And as he sailed by the site of the Titanic sinking, he wrote the words down for, you know, though everything goes bad, it is well with my soul. So, I mean, you get those kinds of stories coming out of different songs. And we're going to explore some of those types of things. But more than the story necessarily behind the song, I want to talk to you about the message that God has impressed upon the writer that we can grab from the song, both while we sing it, and then afterwards, as we're thinking about it. And so, in your notes, I gave you the lyrics of Forever. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to do that for every song that we do, but this one was kind of easy to do that, to get it all on on a whole page and do that. And if you look very closely at the words, you can almost, if you've been in church very long, you can almost see where that probably came from, the Psalms. And you're right, it does. So this morning, let's stand together and let's read one of the Psalms where this song came from. All right? So let's hold our Bibles in the air. Say, this is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I will put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles or look on the screen or your notes. Psalms chapter 107, verses 1 through 16. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those who He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from lands, east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some set in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they had rebelled against God's command and despised the plans of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. That's a prayer and a praise all in its own. It's a wonderful example of how God takes people who find themselves in trouble, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, they're in trouble. And in their distress, David says, or the psalmist says, they cried out to God and He delivered them. And we should give thanks to God for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. He also talks about those who find themselves in a dark place, an utterly dark place, in a prison that they put themselves into because they decided they knew better than God. And when they came to their senses, they cried out to God, and He delivered them from their distress. I think of the song, okay? When I start reading these lyrics, other songs just pop into my head. And when it says, He brought them out of the darkness, the song that hit me was, He brought me out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on the solid rock to stay. And He puts a song in my happy soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. Old hymn. But it's so neat how God reminds us of His unfailing love, the fact that He's going to be there, and He's been there forever. And He will be there forever. I want to take your attention really quick and have you turn in your Bibles maybe or your smartphone really quick. I'm not going to put it on the screen. Psalms chapter 118. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says this, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and He answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look to Him in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And David, or the psalmist, just keeps going and going. And at the end, he says in verse 29, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. There's a theme going on here, don't you think? Psalms chapter 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him who is to Him who alone does great wonders, His love endures forever. And this one just keeps going. Because God's love endures forever. This is the God we serve. Two of these Psalms, I think it's 118 and 136, were the opening statement when the two temples were built. When Solomon's temple was constructed, the very first words out of anybody's mouth by a priest was Psalms 107. They read the whole thing. And Psalms 136 was read when they rebuilt the temple after Nehemiah rebuilt the walls and they rebuilt the temple. And they dedicated it by this, basically saying the exact same thing that they had said before. God's love endures forever. We've been in captivity for 70 years, but God's love endures forever. We didn't think we were ever getting back here, but God's love endures forever. I mean, you think about your situation. My job stinks right now, but His love endures forever. I don't feel real good right now, but His love endures forever. And if we can keep that in our minds, it can make a big difference in our attitudes and how we think about the situations that we're going through in our lives. And I'm not saying we never complain, we never vent to somebody, we never get to talk about it. I'm just saying keep things in perspective. We serve the God of the universe. And even if nothing ever works out for me in my life again, I know this. His love endures forever, and I get to live forever with Him. And I can handle everything. I mean, that makes life tolerable. And my only mandate is to be who Jesus wants me to be while I'm here. So, there's three points that are made in this short song. We're going to hit them really quick because I think I just did a really good job of hitting the big one already, okay? But here's the deal. We need to give thanks to God, all right? The song starts out, "Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good. He is above all things. His love endures forever." So why do we give God thanks? First of all, we give God thanks because He's good. And you can make your own list of the good things that God has done for you and is doing for you even now. Not just what He has done. Even in the worst time of your life, you can still think of some pretty good things that God is doing for you. He's allowing me to take breath. He's allowing me, you know, you figure it out. Well, what's He doing? I told my Sunday school class this really quick this morning. You know how we pray sometimes that God would heal people? And sometimes God's perfect healing is for them to die and go to heaven, right? I told them, because of knowing Him the way I do, if Leonard had gotten sick while he was here in our church, if we'd have said, "Well, Leonard, we'll pray that you get better," Leonard would have said, "No, just pray that God takes me home." You know, because he was ready to go. And his healing was, just take me away, you know. Get me out of this place. And so, God is good. The second reason why we give thanks to God is because He's in control. And sometimes we wish we had more knowledge of what He's doing. And we believe He's in control, but we'd kind of like to get, you know, can we be in on the plan? You know, because we would really like to be informed. And a lot of times we're on a need-to-know basis and we don't need to know. And so we have to just walk through life giving thanks to God because we know that He's in control and we know that He's good. We also learn from this song that God is faithful. He's always faithful. The chorus says, "Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever forever. I think part of what you need to think about when you sing this song, you think about that, He is always there. There is never a time when God is not there. You may feel alone. You may feel like He's not there, but the reality is He is. And something, whether it's something spiritual or emotional, something is clouding your judgment, your mind, and it's not allowing you to see that He is there. But knowing that He's there, even when we can't feel Him, can give us peace and comfort in the dark times. And much like we sang today in another song, His grace always finds us. You can't outrun God. You know, He's right there. We always talk about people being pursued by the, quote, hounds of hell. You know, part of that is, folklore. Part of it is people talking about how Satan's demons run after people. Well, never forget that God has twice as many angels as the devil has demons. And He is as relentless in pursuing us as they are when it comes to trying to get us to go away from God. He's always with us. And we never need to forget that. And the last one, and you can all say it with me, number three is His love endures forever. All right. So, if you forget everything else I've said today, do not forget that God's love endures forever. God will always love His creation. Okay? Now, very important that we distinguish these two, because God will always love His creation and God will always love His children. And they are different. Okay? So, you have the right to become a child of God, but you are not created. You are created by the Creator, but until you accept Christ as your Savior, you're not a child of God. But God will always love His creation. And I mean everything. Just not only the whole world, but He loves every person until that person has made the ultimate choice to not choose Him. And He respects that decision, but He still loves them. And His desire is that before they die, they would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. God's love never runs out. And I've heard people say things like, well, God just doesn't love me like He loves you. And I think, who is the idiot that told you that? And it's probably Satan. You know? But it's wondering what person would tell somebody else that God doesn't love you. And why would we ever believe that? And we should not. And this song is pretty clear that God's love for us endures forever. And we can't outrun God. We can't try to run away from God. We don't have to choose Him, but it doesn't mean He's going to quit chasing after us. And boy, am I thankful for that, because I've tried to do my own thing a few times in my life. And God was always there to take me back. And He is a good God. So, this one was simple, okay? And I started out with something really, really simple. There are some songs where there are some theological points that we'll get into that it's kind of like when we start talking about the days of Elijah and the dry bones becoming flesh, when we start talking about those kinds of things, and I'm not saying we're going to be doing the days of Elijah, I'm saying those are the kind of lyrics that people kind of go, what's he talking about? Or here I raise my Ebenezer. You know, it's like, and what's my Ebenezer? You know, so we're going to explore some mysteries like that. But more than that, we're just going to get into the reasons why we sing these songs. And it wouldn't be fitting for us to leave today without singing forever. Amen? So let's stand this morning.